By wisdom, I mean practical knowledge, the practical knowledge you need to live a blessed life for God's glory. And by worship, I mean honoring God, praising Him for who He is and what He has done. So wisdom and worship. Arguably, these are the two most important things in the Christian life. They're like the rails of a train that upon which you must run. Wisdom and worship, they bring us to God. They reveal the true keys to happiness. They inform our every moment of our life. So in this series in the summer, I'll be giving two sermons on Proverbs to cover wisdom. And then Josh Chen and Layton will be giving two sermons on Psalms to cover the worship aspect. Right? So Psalms and Proverbs. These two books really go hand in hand. One commentator, one Bible nerd guy, he says, if Psalms emphasize praising the Lord, Proverbs focus on fearing Him. These are two different perspectives on the same reality. Only those who fear the Lord will praise Him, and those who praise Him will fear Him. So fear and praise, wisdom and worship, all these things go together. Let me read just one verse from Proverbs chapter 1, and I'll pray for us, and then we'll get started. Look at verse 7 with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help to preach your word as it deserves to be preached. I pray, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see, hearts to love, Lord, which you love, which is wisdom and truth. Teach us, Father, to tremble at your word, to fear you, and to love you because of who you are. We thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. We ask you to teach us, Lord, your wondrous ways. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the battle cry of the book of Proverbs. It's a verse that deserves to be tattooed on the inside of your eyelids. Do you want true knowledge? Do you want to really know stuff? Do you want to actually be wise? Then you must begin by fearing the Lord. That means fearing God in such a way that you respect Him, that you revere Him, that you consider what He says of utmost importance, that you tremble with love and fear at His majesty. Jesus Himself said, "But I will warn you who to fear. Fear Him who, after He has killed, has authority to cast into hell." That is God. Yes, I tell you, fear Him. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So if you would know anything rightly, you must fear the Lord. And verse 7 continues with the warning. It says, if instead of fearing God, you hate wisdom, you despise instruction, what does it say you are? It says you're a fool, right? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, you're morally stupid. That's what the Bible means by fool. We'll dive deep into that later, but for now know this. You'll either be wise or you'll be a fool. There's no middle ground. You'll either be wise or you'll be a fool. Which one are you? Wise or foolish? I want you to be wise. I want every single one of you in this room to be wise. And I want it for your own sake. If you live according to the wisdom in God's word, God promises you the good life. He says in Proverbs 3:2 that He'll give you length of days, years of life and peace. He says He'll give you favor and good success in the sight of God and man. He says it'll heal your flesh and bring refreshment to your bones. In other words, if you're wise, you get long life, honor, blessing, success, security, comfort, peace. Don't you want that? That's what I want. That's what you should want too. So where can you find it? Only on the path of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book all about wisdom. The whole point is to get you wisdom. And a proverb, you've heard this before, but a proverb is like a truism. It's like a catchy slogan, kind of like the early bird gets the worm, or you always miss the shots you don't take. Some true statement that's wrapped up in some nice package, right? The biblical book of Proverbs begins with a prologue. 7 verses that tell us basically 3 things. Number 1, who wrote the Proverbs? Number 2, why he wrote them? And number 3, who he wrote the Proverbs for? Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1 with me. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtained knowledge, obtained guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So first, who wrote the Proverbs? Go for it.
Solomon.
Good, King Solomon, right? King Solomon, son of David. And who is Solomon? And he's lots of things. But basically, he's the second wisest person to ever walk the face of the earth. The second wisest person to ever walk the face of the earth. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 4. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and the breadth of his mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So Solomon's an expert. No, actually, Solomon's a genius. Solomon's a genius in wisdom, in ethics, philosophy, writing, plants, and animals. So if you took like the wisdom of Socrates and the scientific genius of Albert Einstein and the wealth of Warren Buffett, because Solomon is filthy rich, and the design genius of Steve Jobs, and you combine them all into one person, you get close to what Solomon actually was in real life. This man was unparalleled. He was a genius. And he was the wisest man on the face of the earth during his lifetime because God had blessed him with wisdom and understanding beyond measure. If Shohei Ohtani came to you to speak about baseball, or Leonardo da Vinci came to speak to you about inventions, or J.R.R. Tolkien came to speak to you about fantasy and writing, or Beethoven came to speak to you about musical composition, you'd listen, right?
Yeah.
You'd listen. Geniuses. World class. The best of the best. So then, if Solomon comes talking about wisdom, you think you should listen? I think so. Secondly, the purpose of Proverbs. Look at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. There's three verbs. To know, to understand, and to receive. Basically, these are learning verbs, right? They're learning verbs. And what are we supposed to learn? Wisdom, instruction, wisdom, words of insight, wise dealings and righteousness, justice, and fairness. In other words, Solomon wrote the Proverbs to teach people wisdom. It's the whole point. When you think of wisdom, what do you think of? Maybe some old dude on a mountain, you know, long white beard, like stroking like this, saying very profound things, right? So biblically, wisdom's not like that. Biblically, wisdom is a combination of right knowledge of God and his world and right skill to live for the glory of God, right? So it's right knowledge plus right skill to live for the glory of God. That's what wisdom is. That means if you're wise, you know how to respond to different situations, to different people, circumstances, in such a way that you honor God and that you enjoy the fruits of obedience. That's life and joy and peace and security and hope. That means instead of just winging your life or like, you know, making it up as you go along or doing whatever you feel like or doing what people tell you to do, you know the right thing to do. You're confident because it's based upon God's word. You don't have to be old to be wise. You don't have to have a white beard to be wise either. Everyone can be wise. The Proverbs are giving it to you freely. Thirdly, who? Who is this book actually written to? Solomon wrote to give people wisdom, and really to give everyone here wisdom. You only really need wisdom if you want to be happy. I hope everyone here wants to be happy. But there's a big problem, because we all start as not wise. Right? When we're born into the world, no one knows how to walk. In the same way, when we're born into the world, no one knows how to be wise. So the first category of people that Solomon wrote for are the naive. Basically, he wants to make the unwise wise. Look at verse 4. He wrote the Proverbs to give prudence, that's wisdom, to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Simple means naive, untaught, untrained. Youth refers here to a young man or woman who's not a kid, but not yet an adult. And as we'll soon see, Solomon writes most directly to his son who's still living in his household, but who's just a few years away from marriage, which in that culture began soon after puberty. In other words, Solomon's writing to teenagers. Solomon's writing for you. You're not kids, right? That's why we don't treat you like kids. But you're definitely not adults yet. You're in that weird transition phase, like this like unstoppable train away from childhood towards adulthood. You have responsibilities, you have schedules, you have cares, you have assignments. And as you leave childhood, the safety of childhood, everything's really new. You gotta figure out a lot of stuff for the first time ever. New friends, new teachers, new classes, new situations, new feelings, new desires. If you're honest, you have no idea what to do, where to go, or how to handle all this new stuff. Who do you really believe? Who do you trust? You turn this way or that way? Do you do this or do that? What do you need? You need wisdom. You need wisdom. What will you do when your parents say you can't have that thing that you really, really want? What will you do when you start to like that cute boy, but he's not a Christian? Or what do you do when you start to like that cute girl and she's in youth group? Or what do you do when your friends pressure you to do something that you know that God hates? How are you going to share the gospel with your friends? How will you navigate difficult relationships with people that hate you? And how are you going to fit school and band and soccer and baseball and youth group and church and Bible reading and chores and driving lessons and friends and prayer? Oh yeah, and sleep and eating into 168 hours of a single week. You need wisdom. You need wisdom, and you need lots of it. Remember, wisdom is right knowledge combined with right skill to live for the glory of God. So Solomon wrote for teenagers. Solomon wrote for you. But don't think that Proverbs is only for teens. Look at verse 5 and 6. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. In other words, Solomon wrote the Proverbs to those who are already wise, so they'll get more wisdom and increase in their knowledge and understanding. And God knows we all need more wisdom. Like, how are your small group leaders going to figure out how to balance answering your questions and dealing with the chaos in the room and balancing fun with deep conversations and how to meet you in your suffering and also love you like Jesus would? It's hard, okay? Small group leading is really hard. We need wisdom. And how are the adults in the room, how are we supposed to know how to navigate work and politics and dating and weddings and marriage and kids and parenting and health and our own parents and just being tired all the time because we're old, right? How are we supposed to deal with all that? We need wisdom. Whether you're simple or whether you're wise, whether you're young or a little bit older, the Proverbs are our teachers, our essential teachers. The Proverbs are written both for you and for me, for everyone who wants to be wise, and for everyone who is already wise. And the truly wise person knows that he always needs more wisdom. But in saying that, I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I think some of you here actually don't fall into either of those categories. Do you know the names of the classes in high school and college? First year is freshman, right? Second year, sophomore, junior, senior, okay? Of those four words, sophomore is my favorite word. Sophomore is a compound word consisting of two Greek words, sophos and moros. Sophos comes from, sophisticated. It means wise, right? Names like Sophia or Sophie come from the same Greek word. It means someone has knowledge and they know what to do with it. Sophos means wise. Moros comes from a word that means fool. Think of our word moron, right? It means someone who's foolish, who's stupid. I'm not talking about intellectually stupid, I'm talking about morally stupid. That means they do not know how to live rightly in God's world. So sophomore literally means wise fool. It's an oxymoron that describes someone who thinks he's wise, but he's actually just dumb, morally dumb. He thinks he knows what to do, but he doesn't actually know. Kind of reminds me of a toddler, right? Toddler, you know, is trying to tie his own shoes. he doesn't want to do that yet, but he insists on it. I do, right? And then he fails, and he's all sad, and he's like, Dad, can you tie my shoes for me? Probably the sin of pride. Cute, but still sinful. But when that fool becomes a teenager, and she insists that she knows how to live her life without wisdom, it's not cute anymore. What about you? If you think you've got life all figured out, that nobody can teach you because you already know everything, if you stubbornly refuse to listen to your parents, your small group leaders, your pastors, your teachers, because you're too busy listening to yourself, if you scorn wisdom, instruction, and counsel, and instead you seek after pleasure, entertainment, money, diversion, security, school, whatever, anything else more than God and his wisdom, do you know what you are? You're a fool. You're a fool. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool is the one who's so busy talking that he drowns out the truth of God's word and the counsel of God's people. The fool is the one who walks blindly into danger, Proverbs 9:4. The fool is the one who is lazy, Proverbs 10:5. Who babbles without thought, Proverbs 10:8. Who spreads gossip and lies, Proverbs 10:18. Who loves wickedness, Proverbs 10:23. Who refuses to learn from his own mistakes, Proverbs 19:29. If this is you, the Proverbs say to you, wake up! Wake up! Come back from that foolish way and come to the path of wisdom. Leave your folly and live. If you don't, you will perish. Or as the New Testament says, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. I don't want any of you to be a fool. I don't want to meet you in 10, 20, 30 years and learn that you've wasted your life, to hear that you've absolutely wrecked it. You've run away from the church, you've run away from Jesus, and you're stuck and enslaved to your sin because you refused to listen to wisdom when you were young, when you still have the chance. So new 7th grader, new 8th grader, new high schooler, you know, high schoolers especially, my fellow staffers, you need wisdom, you need knowledge, you need instruction, you need counsel. Where are you going to get it? Wisdom speaks, and she says to you, the beginning of wisdom is, get wisdom. Are you listening? Our second point is, listen to wisdom, not to so-called friends. And in this next section, we hear Solomon's first counsel to his son. Look at verse 8 with me. Solomon says to his son, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. In other words, listen to your parents, because their words are treasure and they will make you beautiful. This implies that since Solomon's day, which is almost 3,000 years ago, teens have struggled to listen to their parents. It's kind of comforting and also kind of scary. My guess is probably because at this age, you're starting to figure out your parents are not perfect, right? In fact, like really far from perfect. And you're probably an expert at pointing out their inconsistencies, their hypocrisies, and their contradictions. Am I right? It was just me when I was a teenager. Okay. You know your parents are not perfect. You know they have many flaws and sins. But just because they're not perfect doesn't mean what they tell you isn't good. Love your sister is wise, no matter what. Work hard is good counsel, no matter who says it. Solomon is not saying, okay, listen to me, son, because I'm perfect. He's not saying that. Instead, he's saying what the fifth commandment says. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother, which in this relationship primarily means you listen to them, you heed them, you obey them, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you do this, God says, if you honor your parents, long life, blessing, peace. It's not just about honoring your parents. It's about glorifying your God. If you listen to your parents, their words will be a delightful garland. That means a crown upon your head. There'll be a beautiful necklace around your neck. And what's a crown or necklace for? It's to mark you as majestic, as regal, as beautiful, as glorious, as someone who's worth paying attention to. You'll walk in honor, your head held up high, every step confident and strong because you've made wisdom your treasure. That's what will happen if you listen to your parents' counsel. And I can imagine Solomon's son, let's name him Sonny, saying, okay, Dad, you got my attention. What do you want to tell me? What do you want to tell me? If you were a parent, what's the first piece of advice you give to your kid? You know, first is probably most important. What would you say? Go to church. Love Jesus. Study hard. Don't do drugs. Solomon says, don't hang out with criminals. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We'll all have one purse. These sinners promise what? Precious goods, plunder, community, security. But how are they going to get that?
Attacking the good.
By murdering. By murdering. Look at verse 15. Psalm continues. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. In other words, Solomon says to his son, don't hang out with those kind of people. Don't spend time with them. Don't be around them. Those kind of sinners will reap what they sow. They'll get what they deserved. They're ready to kill, but in fact, they are the ones who will be killed. Look at verse 19. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. God makes sure that sinners get what they deserve. Judgment. Buddhists will call it karma, but Christians know it's God's divine justice. Usually judgment falls in this life. God plagues sinners' paths, and he destroys them in their schemes. But even if it's not in this life, hell awaits those who die in their sins. No one, quote unquote, gets away with anything. And this is really strange first advice to a son, right? I mean, can you imagine your dad taking you out to ice cream, you know, sitting you down going, son, daughter, this is really, really important. Don't hang out with murderers. Like, wow, I didn't know that before. Shocker, right? Okay, our culture's different than Solomon's, but Solomon's principle is still really good. I don't really worry about you becoming gang members. Most of you, at least. But I do worry about this. I worry about the kinds of friends you have. Solomon's warning is against sinners who pose to be so-called friends. Friends who will drag you down in their sin. You don't really realize how influential your friends are over you. As you move from childhood to adulthood, the voice of your parents, the importance you give to them, it goes down and down and down. And what fills that void? Your peers. You listen to everything they say. I mean, think with me. If your closest friends are those who are talking about Jesus, who love reading the Bible, who go to youth group, who share the gospel, you'll probably be pretty similar. But if your friends are drinking, and they're dating around, and they're always complaining about your parents, sooner or later, you'll probably be exactly the same. These so-called friends will entice you with their words. They'll promise to get you what you really want. Come on, come to this party with me. There'll be no adults there. We're going to do whatever we want. It'll be super fun. Or come on, just give me your homework just this once. Just this once so I can copy it. Help me out. I don't know. I forgot to do it. My dog got my homework. Just once. Or wow, you're too afraid to break the rules? What a baby. What a wuss. Solomon says, don't listen to them. Do not follow them. Don't walk that path. Their sins will drag you down to death. Don't make them your friends. Now, hear me rightly. I'm not saying you can't have non-Christian friends. Some of you have brought them to youth group, and I love that you're here. Instead, my question is this. My question is, are you influencing them towards Jesus, or are they influencing you towards sin? Are you influencing them towards Jesus, or are they influencing you towards sin? By spending time with them, are they becoming more like you? You know, they're coming to church, they're hearing the gospel, they're reading the Bible. Or are you becoming more like them? You're laughing at their crude jokes. You're starting to curse, even on accident. You're lying to your parents just like they are. I have to ask you, who is really influencing who? Scripture assumes that worldly friends are stronger than you are. Scripture assumes that worldly friends are stronger than you are. Don't assume that you're the exception. Wisdom speaks. She says, flee from godless people, and instead make godless friends. Are you listening? Third, listen to wisdom's warnings. In our last section, Solomon depicts wisdom, capital W, as a woman. I'll call her Miss Wisdom. And she offers her wares of wisdom to all. Look at verse 20 with me, as wisdom invites. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn to my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Do you hear her? On the soccer field, in the school lunchyard, in Wilson Park, in the Delama Mall, at Torrance Farmers Market, at South Bay Galleria, wisdom lifts her voice. She cries out in every public place, turn from your ways, leave your ignorance, leave your foolishness, and come to me. Take my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you could desire cannot compare with it. If you come, I'll pour my spirit of wisdom upon you. I'll instruct you in the ways of the wise. But how does wisdom actually say that? Many ways. But for example, when you see sinners suffering the consequence of their sin, maybe they get in trouble at school, or they get thrown in jail, wisdom's teaching you that sin always has a cost. When you hear of people dying young, wisdom is teaching you that your death too always comes too soon. When you hear even snippets of wisdom in songs or speeches, even commercials and jingles, wisdom is teaching you that her reach has no bounds. You'll find wisdom in the mouths of your parents, your coaches, your teachers, your leaders, your aunties, and your uncles. You'll find wisdom in the lines from praise songs and hymns that you sing at church on Sundays and sing at home with your parents and your family. You'll find wisdom in your conscience that tells you that there is a God, that you are accountable to him, and that he deserves worship. And over, wisdom speaks. She says, come, learn from me, and live. Are you listening? When I was in college, there was this little elderly lady, thin, you know, rimmed glasses, cropped gray hair about this tall, she wore a sun hat, and she spent her days reading scripture aloud on campus. So on Sproul Plaza, in Morrill Glade, Lower Sproul, for hours she would raise her frail voice and read for everyone to hear the book of John, the book of Acts, Leviticus, and more. Day after day, she proclaimed the word, praying, hoping, longing for just someone to be blessed by her voice, someone to come to Christ because of her ministry. And yet, no one listens. No one stops to hear the word of life. Dozens, hundreds, thousands of students every day walking to their math class or walking to office hours, club meetings, whatever. Too busy to stop. And so they shun the word of God. That's how it is with wisdom. She speaks, but hardly anyone cares. She invites, but hardly anyone comes to her feast. So what does she do? She laughs. Look at verse 24. Wisdom says, behold, or because I've called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Miss Wisdom knows that because you refused wisdom now, in the most formative time of your life, you'll reap the rewards of your foolishness. She says terror, dread, panic, anxiety, affliction are your future. When distress comes like a storm, unlooked for and unavoidable, when calamity comes like a whirlwind, unwelcomed and unstoppable, when your life is in ruin, she'll laugh at you. She'll mock you. If you go hiking on a sheer cliff, say, Angel's Landing and Zion National Park, with a 2,000-foot drop on either side, and you ignore the warnings of the signs, you ignore the warnings of the park rangers, you ignore the warnings of your friends and of your parents, and you decide to let go of the safety chain and do cartwheels to be cool, and you fall to your death, is that really an accident? No. You're reaping the reward of your foolishness. To the stubborn fool, the willfully naive, wisdom says, you had your chance. You had your chance. The warnings were there for all those years, for all those lectures from your dad, all those conversations with your mom, all those sermons, all those Christian books. You were offered wisdom over and over again, and yet you scorned it. You treated it like it was worthless. And now you reap your reward. Wisdom says the time for instruction at that point is over, and judgment has come. Look at verse 28. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and they have their fill of their own devices. Do not be deceived. The time for wisdom, the time to get wisdom is not tomorrow, not next year, not after you've done this or that, or figured out that thing, or you do this really thing you really want to do. The time for wisdom is now. The time for wisdom is now. At some point, if you keep walking in the path of folly, wisdom's voice will be too far away for you to hear. You'll get stuck, you'll be too lost, you'll be too gone, you'll be too busy, you'll be too guilty, too hardened, too stubborn to be changed. You'll eat the fruit of your wicked ways. You'll be too full to hunger for righteousness. So what will you do? You're on an escalator, but it's going down, away from wisdom and towards folly. If you do nothing, you will still descend. You're underwater. Your air tank is running empty. You must ascend into the light. If you do nothing, you will drown. Every day you live is one step closer to eternity. When Jesus calls you to give an account for your life, what will you be? Will you be wise? Or will we be a fool? Wisdom warns us. Look at verse 32. She says, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me, to wisdom, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Being untaught is not safe. Being a fool is not safe. You can't coast through life and become wise. If you want to be happy, you must be wise. You must get wisdom. And here's the blessing of getting wisdom. Proverbs 3 says, if you just turn a little forward with me, it's Proverbs 3, chapter 13, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. We'll say it again. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Wisdom speaks. She says, who desires riches and wealth? Who wants long life and honor? Who wants true security and peace? I'm the tree of life. I'm the fount of every blessing. Come to me and you'll be wise. Come to me and you'll be blessed. Are you listening to wisdom? When Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, he wrote the book as the second wisest man who ever lived. We would do well to listen. But Matthew 12:47 says that someone is greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ. He's the wisest man who ever lived and who will ever live. Jesus is wisdom from God. In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. He's the one whom wisdom points to because he's the fountain of all wisdom and knowledge. The path of wisdom is meant to bring you to Jesus and to trust in him. So living wisely is not about, you know, living a longer life or living a better life temporally on this earth only. Living wisely is about living in sight and in light of who Jesus Christ is, who he is, and what he's done. He loved us when we were sinners. He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our salvation. And the wisest thing you could ever do in the whole wide world is to trust him. Wisdom speaks, but Jesus speaks better. And he says in Isaiah, he says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear, come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant." A covenant of steadfast love, a promise of salvation. Are you listening? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you alone are the wisest. And we confess, Lord, that we have so much foolishness within us. We assume that we're right when we're actually so wrong. We assume that we can trust ourselves when, Lord, we can only trust you. We assume that we need no one's help when, Lord, we're the most needy people in the whole world. We assume, Lord, that we don't need your word when it is to us really life and food for our souls. Lord, I thank you for this warning from wisdom. I pray that you give us hope and confidence that Jesus Christ loves sinners, even those who have insisted on their foolishness. And you'd help us to turn from our ways and come to the God of wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. It's in his perfect name we pray. Just some reminders, Bible camp is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1:30 here. Next week, things on Friday, we have youth group, same time, same place. At the bottom of your sheet, you have application questions. We do not have small groups today, but you can talk about those with anyone, leaders, parents, friends, whoever. And that's it. We're just going to hang out and play games now for youth group. Yeah, can you please stack the chairs in the back? Thank you. Thank you.